Thank you for that, Bernie, and I appreciate Bernie and Danny especially. They always with me out at the nursing home. They're faithful, and she always helps and sings, and I appreciate them. This morning I'd like to talk about two men. I'd like to compare them, I'd like to contrast them. Two men are both found in Genesis, and I want to start reading in Genesis chapter 18, and verse 16. God has just come and visited Abraham. He's about 99 years old, I guess, about this time, 98 or 99. He's visited him. He ate supper with him or ate dinner or whatever it was. In verse 16, the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." The Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know." And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this day, this place, and this time to worship. Lord, I ask that you'd open your word, and you'd speak through my mouth, that Lord, it not be my thoughts, but it be the thoughts of God that are brought forth here today. I pray that you'd bless us, touch us, change our lives and make us more like thee. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The two men I want to talk about today, and the similarity I want to talk about between them, is two men who got in God's way. Two men who got in God's way. And the first one, Abraham. Verse 16, when you first look at it, they got up and they walked off. Men with Abraham, and Abraham went with them. Verse 16, it says he went with them. When you get over to verse 22, you find there's a change in where Abraham's position became. There's a change in where he stood. It said he stood before the Lord. God told Abraham what he was going to do. He had a reason in telling Abraham what he told him, because God wants somebody to stand for his people. Ezekiel 22:30 is probably the best verse I know in, as far as the clearest explanation of how to put what God wants. But God is looking for a man to stand in the gap before his people, before the Lord, so that he might not destroy them. And this is what Abraham did in this passage of Scripture. He came to the point where God said, this is what's going to happen. The wickedness has come up. They're unrighteous. They're filthy. They're ungodly. And the time has come that they must be destroyed, that punishment and judgment must fall. And he was looking for a man that would stand before him and say, "Lord, would you have mercy for 50 people? Would you have mercy for a little bit? For only 50 people, would you spare 5 cities?" You go back and you read the history, there are 5 cities in this country, in this area. For 50 people, would you spare all the unrighteous and all the wicked? Would you look over it and would you spare them for another time? Just for 50. The Lord said, "Yeah, I'll spare them for 50 righteous." But you see, that wasn't all he asked for. Abraham stood yet before the Lord. He stayed in God's way. And he talked, and he pled, and he wept, and he talked some more to God, and he prayed. He got him down to 45. Then he got him down to 40. Then he got him down to 30 and 20. And he finally stopped at 10. And you wonder, why 10? Why didn't he go on down to 5? Or 1? He knew Lot was righteous. He knew Lot was righteous. Well, I know by the Bible that Lot had 4 daughters. And he had his wife. And 2 of his daughters were married. And maybe they had children. That should have made 10. 10 righteous. Unfortunately, there weren't the 10 righteous in the city. But Abraham stopped at 10. But he went from 50 to 10. And when God started out, Abraham didn't know, he didn't care about anyone, that the whole place was wicked and the whole place was unrighteous and the whole place needed to be condemned. And I have no doubt that Lot got a whole lot more mercy than he deserved. But Abraham had enough faith to stand before the Lord and get in God's way. You know, it's a shame that more of us don't get in God's way. Our nation's going to die. It's going to be destroyed. And most of the people we know are going to go to hell because we don't get in God's way and pray for those people and witness to those people and talk to those people and weep over those people and care about those people. We can get in the way. So the only thing that separates God and a sinner is a sin. And the only thing that brought you and me to God is Jesus, because Jesus got in the way. See, Jesus hung between earth and heaven on a cross, and He got in the way for you and me. And we're Christians. That's what we call ourselves. We're supposed to be Christ-like, like Christ. That's what a Christian means. And more of us need to get in the way. More of us need to get in the way. I don't know how else to put it, but it's a burden on my heart for this city, for our brethren, for this state, for this nation, and for this world. More of us need to get in the way. We send out missionaries, and Billy and Rossi are in Guatemala. And there's other missionaries I know of in Guatemala. You know, those are Americans. They're foreigners in a country. And they've given up their life, their fortunes, their fame, everything they've got, their family, to get in God's way so that some Guatemalans can hear the gospel. Because you see, without somebody there to tell them the gospel, those people would go to hell because God had nothing to stop him from wiping them out. Moses more than once got in God's way for the people of Israel. More than once. He cried, said, "Wipe me out, kill me, blot me out of the book of life, but don't destroy your people. They're your people." Paul said, "I'd give up everything I've got. I'd go to hell so that Israel might be saved." Somebody's got to get in the way. And we're the Christians. We're the church of God. We're the ones God has chosen. We're the ones God has chosen to get in the way. You can make the difference. You and I can make the difference. And bad shame is the very last phrase in Ezekiel 22:30. It says, "He found none." The Lord was looking for somebody to get in the way, but He found none. I hope none of us can leave here today and have the Lord say, "He found none." This little church, I don't know, maybe there's 60 people in here, 50 people. We can change the world. We can change the world if we get in God's way. If we'll stand before the Lord and cry for people around this world, our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones, our family, we can change the world. That $10,000 is not much, really, but it's one way of getting in God's way so that other people might hear. It's one way of putting the gospel forth and getting in God's way. Now, it sounds funny to get in God's way. It sounds like you're in the wrong and the next person I'm going to talk about is that way. But there's a time and there's a place to get in the way. My wife sometimes has to get in the way before I spank my son because I get awful mad. And I'm a whole lot harder on him than she is. Sometimes it saves him a few blisters and maybe a few things that he doesn't need coming because she got in the way. And if she didn't have the guts to get in the way, my son might be a whole lot worse off than he is. Well, God has us as His children. And we're to be the bride of Christ. And we need to get in the way for other people. The next person I'd like to talk about is in the next page over, the next chapter. His name is Lot. And by all means, in every way I can look at it, Lot was in the way. And I don't mean it good. Lot was completely in the way and he was all the way wrong. Every time Lot turned around, he just got more in the way. Every time God tried to help Lot, Lot got in the way. First point about Lot was that he was where he shouldn't have been. He went down to Sodom and he pitched his tent towards Sodom after he had the separation and the breakup with Abraham. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And then he moved into the city Then he moved up to where he sat in the gate, a place of position, a place of a little bit of power, of fame. But God never told Lot to go to Sodom. God brought Abraham out and his family and told him to sojourn in a land as a pilgrim, as a stranger, as a wanderer. And Lot came with Abraham. I never find out where God told Lot to go to Sodom. No matter whether or not Lot lived that way and lived towards Sodom, whether or not he used Sodom and went into Sodom to buy and shop and trade and sell, he definitely had no business living there and making that his home. Lot, I guess, is one of the filthiest examples of the world that we have in the Bible. A filthy, corrupt, vile place to be. And Lot got in his own way because God couldn't work with Lot anymore. Lot got in God's way because he told God, no, I'm going to do it my way. And he caused a separation between him and God. And God could no longer use his life. And Lot found himself in God's way. Then Lot got in God's way while he lived in Sodom because he had no testimony. The Bible says Lot was a righteous man. I have to believe the Bible for that one. But he was a righteous man, and yet he had no testimony in Sodom. Sodom's one chance and one testimony and one witness for God Almighty. And yet he was in God's way because God had destroyed that wicked city. Because nobody told him about a righteous God. Because Lot was in the way. And when Lot tried to warn somebody that God was going to destroy the city, Lot's own life came back up in his face and he was in the way again. You see, Lot got in the way. Lot couldn't get out of the way. Got in the way with his family. When Lot chose not to follow God, he got in the way of his family. God couldn't reach down and touch his family through his righteous life. God couldn't go down and bring his children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Remember what I read about Abraham? The Lord said he knew that Abraham would bring his children up right. And he couldn't say that about Lot. Because his daughters needed to know about a righteous God. And if his daughters would have known about a righteous God, he'd probably have still four virgins living in his house when he escaped. Really, he wouldn't have been there. And if he had been a witness with his family, he'd have been a witness to the sons and the men that came around to date and to marry his daughters. And he wouldn't have let them marry just anybody. He'd have put them out to righteous men. And the two daughters that were married would have been married to righteous men. And the children they had would have been sanctified by righteous families. And there would have been 10 righteous in the city, but Lot got in the way because he didn't raise his family right. Because he didn't spend any time loving his family and God. And that's just leading up to where Lot got in the way. Lot got in the way in his mind, in his heart, in his spirit, in his soul, and everything he did. When it come down to the time that God came to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot was again in the way. Because you see, Abraham prayed for Lot. You'll find that Lot was saved because of Abraham's faith and not because of Lot's. Lot's was spared because of Abraham's righteousness and not because of Lot's. Because it was because of Abraham that Lot was rescued out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because Lot was in the way. And because of what Abraham had asked God, God had to wait to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because Lot was in the way and wouldn't get out of it. They had to drag him out of the city because he didn't know how to get out of the way. And then when they drug him out of the city, they said, flee to the mountains. Don't stay in the plain at all. And he begged for a city, one of the five cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. As far as I know, that city's still there today because Lot got in the way and God didn't destroy that city. It may not have been as wicked or as unrighteous as Sodom and Gomorrah was, but it was part of their group and their clan and their country. It was one of the five cities of that kingdom or that area. Because Lot was there, God didn't destroy it. Because Lot was in the way. Then lastly, Lot got in the way even after his death. See, Lot got so far into God's way that his heritage is still in God's way. Because he got in the way and didn't raise his children right, he had no respect for his daughters. His daughters had no respect for him. And both of them had sons by their father. One was named Moab, and one was named Ben-Ami. One became the father of the Moabites, and one became the father of the Ammonites. Throughout the history of the Bible, They are always, always the enemies of the people of Israel. You see, Lot got in God's way. The reason I bring this up this morning, some of us are in the way. We're in the way either in our heart, our mind, our desires, our direction, where we're at, what we're doing, our witness, our testimony, our children, our lives, and our heritage. I include me in that because I am in the way. But how about your life? Are you where you should be? Are you where God wants you? And are you positive? God told you and He called you out and He saved your soul to sojourn as a pilgrim in a land. Do you live in the world? If you live in the world, my friend, you're in God's way. You're in God's way. How about where you work or the people you live around? Is your testimony what it should be? Do those people know that Jesus Christ died to save their souls? Have you wept over them? Have you cried over them? Have you spent any time talking to them? Have you loved them the way God loved them? If not, you're in the way. Because you see, when God comes down and He says, you're guilty of death, you're guilty of eternal separation from God Almighty, you're going to hell. And He says, but I never knew. He says, well, I had my witness there, but my witness was in my way and I couldn't work in your life because somebody was in God's way. I wonder how many people are in hell tonight because somebody was in God's way. How many people are going to go to hell tonight because somebody was in God's way? And how about the rest of the time we have left in this world? How many more people will step out into eternity? Unknowing. Because somebody got in God's way. They wouldn't let God work through their life. We need to get out of God's way. We need to get out of God's way when He wants to work. And we need to get in God's way where He wants us to be. How about your children? Lot lost 2 daughters, 2 sons-in-laws. A wife, most of his family, his self-respect, because he didn't have enough guts to live for God in the world. He got in God's way and he didn't raise his children right and God couldn't work through his children. You know something? 2 different places where it talks about the qualifications of deacons and elders, and bishops. It says they have to have children that obey. They have to rule their house well. Why? Because your children are a testimony of what you are and how you live, what you think, and why you are the way you are. If you don't raise your children right, my friend, you're in God's way because God can work through your children. A godly father brings up a godly child, and a godly child works more for God, and he just stretches forth the ministry of that one man that brought up his child right. But if you don't bring up your children right, if they don't know how to obey, if they don't know how to listen to you, if they can't listen to you when you say judgment's coming, then my friend, you've gotten in God's way and God can't work through your children and your life. Maybe they'll go to hell and maybe they'll send all their friends to hell because God couldn't work through their life because you didn't raise them right. Because you didn't take the time to teach them that God was a righteous and a holy God. Because you didn't take the time to tell your friends and expect them to act better around your children. Maybe you didn't take any time to pick better friends for your children. Or tell them, no, you can't go out with that young man. Or no, I don't want you to take that young girl out. They're not the right kind of people. If you haven't learned how to say no to your children yet, you're in God's way. Because your children will make a lot of difference. And even in the end, your heritage is your children. Lot left a horrible heritage. Nobody knows when Lot died. I don't know how he died. He's probably one of those caveman skulls they found out in a cave in the mountains of Israel. All bent over and frown on his face. Because see, Lot died with no self-respect. He died a fearful man. He was afraid to go in the mountains first and then he was afraid to stay in Zoar. He didn't know where to go because he got in God's way. And he left a heritage of sorrow, disrespect, heartache, enemies of God, trouble on every hand. Just because he got in God's way and didn't know how to get out. He never turned to God once and asked for mercy. He never turned to God once and asked to repent. He never turned to God once and asked for a way out. He stayed in God's way and he tried to get in God's way. He tried to do it his way all the time. And he did nothing but stay in God's way. How about you? After you're dead and gone, what will they say about you? Are you in God's way this morning? Are you where Abraham was? In a place of intercession for others? Are you where Lot was? In a place of condemnation for others? And that's the difference. Abraham was saving people and Lot was condemning them. They were both in God's way. But one was blessed and one was cursed for it. And the difference is your heart. The difference is where you decide you want to be. The difference is in your closeness with God and your walk with God. How you choose to make your life count. You're going to live for this world? I guarantee you're going to get in God's way. You're going to live for God? Do what He tells you to do? Then you'll get in God's way, but you'll be helping people when you do. The work God does will be for you, a part of you, through you, and to your glory and your honor. But if you end up like Lot, where you shouldn't be, then you'll go to your grave and no self-respect, fear, heartache, sorrow, reproach, shame. I shudder to think of the depths that man sunk to simply because he got in God's way and wouldn't get out. He wouldn't get out. They gave him the chance, but he wouldn't get out. He had to make his own decision all the way. Bow your heads, close your eyes. And think about it. Some of us are in God's way and we need to get out. Some of us need to repent of the lives we've been leading. Some of us need to get right with God. Some of us could change. Some of us can. And it's time we did it. While the organ plays, you pray. The altar's down here. You can come down to the front. Get right with God. Get on your knees. For whatever you do tonight, whatever you do this morning, get out of God's way.